This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 499 in the series. This session shares the part of the Franklin Mass School Committee meeting held on Tuesday, March 23rd, 2021. The meeting was conducted in a hybrid format. Some of the school committee members, central office personnel, and key guests were in the council chambers. The remainder, along with the public, were remote via conference bridge, all to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. I've split the almost three-hour meeting into three logical segments. First covers the school budget public hearing and runs approximately 1 hour and 27 minutes. Second picks up the regular meeting and through to the Jefferson Elementary School presentation, approximately 43 minutes. Third continues from the discussion action items through to the end of the public meeting, as they do go into executive session not to return to the public meeting, and that lasts about 39 minutes. The show notes contain links to the meeting agenda and to my notes. The meeting packet folder will hold the other documents released for the meeting. So let's listen to this segment of the school committee meeting of March 23rd, 2021.
Declare the budget open hearing closed, and now we will go back to our regularly scheduled school committee meeting. So, routine business, review of agenda, look okay to everybody? Citizens' comments, if there's anyone who would like to speak to something that is not on the agenda for this evening.
I don't see anyone.
Good. Do we have some Franklin High School student representatives with us tonight?
I sure do.
I see Akash.
Akash. Yeah. Go ahead, Akash.
Akash, you're in. Nipon should be on. Yeah, he's on. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, so we had quite a bit of things going on at FHS. So the first thing I'll start off with, because I've heard in the meeting, like the word SEL, social emotional learning, being talked around a lot. The admin are really trying to push that SEL, especially in this remote environment. So they're hosting what's called a What's Up Week, which is happening this week. And essentially during like certain times during the day, there's like admin and adjustment counselors on Google Meet links that have been sent out to students over email, simply just to talk about like what's going on. And it's supposed to kind of just replicate how like students in school might see a, you know, an admin in the hallway or a counselor just at lunch stopping by in a cafe, and just talk about like life, I guess, right? So that's available for students during certain times of the day. So students should definitely check out their emails and stop into one of those meets just to talk with admin or counselors. Another neat thing, so this Thursday at 6 p.m., FHS senior Angelina Silva Perez is hosting a discussion on gender equality through the FHS Grow Up Club. And they're gonna talk about the importance of intersectional feminism and gender-based violence, how that affects people. And participants are gonna include local leaders, high school students, and even a few nationwide feminist leaders. So that's gonna be Thursday at 6 p.m. through the Grow Up Club, if anybody would like to attend. Another shout out I like to do is to FHS senior Numbe Nodoy, who's the president of FHS's Diversity Awareness Club. And yesterday night, she had a conversation with Senator Becca Rausch to celebrate Women's History Month, which was really nice. And then in a little bit of the sports realm, FHS Unified Basketball, Volleyball, and Football have kicked off and are underway. From what I've heard, they're doing well. And then in DECA, which is like our FHS business club to say, 25 students from Franklin High have qualified for nationals. So that would have been held in Anaheim, California, but fortunately this year it'll be another Zoom link. But that's still definitely exciting for the school.
Is that it, Akash?
Yeah.
Thank you. Excellent. Great summary of all the wonderful things that are going on. I'm glad the principal and the administrators are reaching out to the students. That's really important.
Does Nipon have anything to say?
Nipon?
I think he unmuted.
Yeah, hi everyone. So I'll just speak more to the student life going at FHS. We have some great things going on in the field of arts, specifically theater and music. The senior directed one acts plays are going to be underway on March 25th at 7 p.m. Those are all plays written by our graduating seniors, such as Frankenstein, What Happens in Neverland Stays at Neverland. So be on the lookout for those. Going more to the music field, right now, actually, March is Music in Our Schools Month. So what the Tri-M Music Honor Society has been doing. They've been raising awareness and appreciation for all music educators all over, such as changing our profile pictures, creating pieces of art and music as to what music means to them specifically, and so on. Furthermore, as Akash attested to in the sports field, the Franklin boys football team, their home opener is this Friday at 7 p.m. versus Attleboro, and you can catch the football game, the Meet Link, on Franklin TV as always. And a big shout out to the volleyball team as they stay undefeated. They knocked off King Philip and Taunton while we were away.
Good job. Thank you.
Can I just ask a question?
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Sure.
Akash, do you know where we can find the Zoom info for Thursday's meeting with Angelina Perez?
Yeah, so I know for...
Putting you on the spot, I'm sorry.
No worries. So I know for students it's available. There's a flyer. I can maybe drop... Is there a chat in this? I can...
There is no chat.
No chat.
Akash, if you email it to me, this is Dr. Hearn, if you email it to me, I can forward it along to the school committee.
Yeah, sure. I actually have the link right now, so I'll go ahead and email it to you.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you. And then I know he touched upon Nume speaking at Becca Rausch's yesterday at one. I'd love to have her and maybe the Diversity Awareness Club come and present. I know that she spoke about how they meet with the middle schools and the teachers. I think it would be interesting to hear what kind of work they're doing.
Great idea. Like it.
We have Steve Sherlock.
Oh, Steve, did you want to...
Just a quick, Angelina sent me the link, so it'll also be shared on Franklin Matters tomorrow for the Thursday event.
Oh, thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
Beautiful. All right. I guess that is it. Thank you, students. Now we'll go to Dr. Hearn, Superintendent's Report.
Thank you. I just have a very kind of focused report tonight, and we've got a long meeting, but I also, I think based on the solemnity of it, I just wanted to keep the report kind of focused, and I wanted to use this space to address two horrific acts of violence that have occurred within the last week, and just share that our thoughts and prayers go out to the victims of yesterday's shooting in a Colorado grocery store that Anne had mentioned during our moment of silence. There have been far too many senseless acts of violence, and it reminds me much too closely of the school-based incidents that have been experienced in our country. And so I'm getting kind of emotional at the thought of it, but just want to make a statement that the safety of our students and our staff come first and foremost, and is a responsibility that we take with the utmost seriousness. I also want to take this moment to condemn the fatal shootings in Atlanta that took the lives of 8 individuals and wounded a 9th. I particularly want to call attention to and condemn the anti-Asian violence, as 6 victims are of Asian descent. Anti-Asian racism has heightened during the pandemic, although we also know that is part of a longer, painful history. I will note that on Thursday, it may be at the same time as the Girl Up, but it may actually be after at 7. The Asian American Commission from the Commonwealth of Massachusetts is holding a virtual town hall on anti-Asian racism. And so I'm providing that link in the superintendent's report. And there are a list of some curated resources for families and for community members about caring for ourselves and others in combating anti-Asian racism amidst COVID-19. This was put together by Superintendent Julie Hackett of Lexington and was shared yesterday by the Massachusetts School Administrators Association. So we'll make that available to members of our community. While we have had much work to do to reopen our schools, and it has taken a lot of focus attending to the coronavirus pandemic, incidents both locally, nationally, and abroad remind us of the importance of attending to diversity, equity, and inclusion. Love the idea of having club members join us here at a school committee meeting to share their work. On the district side, the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee has approximately 60 members, which is just unbelievable. We've met 3 times with 5 more dates planned this spring. Members have been developing relationships and learning from each other, particularly listening to the voices of our students, identifying short-term actions to take while we plan towards long-term goals and developing common language, including a strong equity statement coming soon. So I will leave the superintendent's report there, but just wanted to acknowledge with sadness.
Thanks, Sarah. Thank you. Okay, I guess we're moving along to guests and presentations.
Thank you. So our guests tonight are from the Jefferson Elementary School to share their highlights, and we appreciate their participation. Sarah Klim, principal, and Kim Booth, assistant principal, are on the call, as well as several staff members, and I'll let Sarah introduce them.
Thank you, Dr. Hearn. We are very happy to be here tonight to share with all of you some of what's taking place at Jefferson. Lucas, I'm wondering if you can make me a co-host so I can share our presentation. We can include a couple of videos. And while that's happening, I want to thank and introduce the staff who are joining me tonight. My right hand, I couldn't do it without her, our principal, Kim Booth, our school adjustment counselor, Michelle Brent, our literacy specialist, Jenny Callahan, and our math specialist, Jamie Hulbig. Many of our staff contributed to the presentation with pictures or their input, and we want to thank them for that very much, and wish more of them could join us tonight, but we'll be representing. So I'm going to go ahead.
You should have the permission, sir.
I do. I'm pulling it up right now, Lucas. Thank you. So we took a little bit of a different approach tonight with our presentation. Our colleagues ahead of us, I think, have done a fabulous job talking about instruction and the hybrid model, and especially in light of the fact that we're returning to full and in-person learning in just a couple of weeks. We thought to focus a little differently tonight on what has also been a big goal for us this year, and that's been a focus on building a strong school community. And Kim's going to talk about that a little bit more, but a strong school community, we have to start with thanking all the members of it. So our teachers, our staff, we truly could not do it without them. They've been phenomenal this entire year. Their dedication, their passion for what they do, the hard work, the hours they've put in, I can't say enough about them and how lucky I am to work with all of them. The Jefferson families have been overwhelmingly supportive. We're so grateful to them for the grace they've shown us, for their patience, as we've figured it all out together this year, and the trust that they've placed in us. And we're so very grateful for their support. We want to thank our community partners. We get a lot of support from our school resource officer, Officer Dave Gove, and the Franklin PD, the Franklin Fire Department. The DPW are always so great to us, taking care of our schools and grounds. They've been around a couple times lately, helping us get ready for April 5th with a few things. The Franklin Food Pantry, another great partner, supporting us with the weekend backpack program and other things, and just so many organizations that partner with us, and we're so grateful for that. We want to thank Central Office. We want to thank the school committee for all that you've done to support us this year. I mentioned our administrative colleagues and our colleagues in other buildings. We're totally grateful. But most of all, I have to thank our kids. This has not been an easy year for our students, and they have had such resilience, such flexibility. They've worked so hard. And while I know there's a lot of different emotions coming from all of them as we move towards April 5th, overwhelmingly from our kids, I've heard excitement. And so we know that they're ready to come back. We're figuring it all out together, what it's going to look like, this new normal. But the kids have just been absolutely terrific. They are why we do what we do, and they deserve a huge amount of our thanks. Kim?
So our support this year, our focus was to make sure that our families and our students felt supported and connected to the Jefferson community. And we wanted them to feel as if they were still in the building, even though our learning may look different this year. So the four things that we wanted to concentrate on to help our families and our students is to support our students' SEL needs. And we wanted to reimagine our traditions in new ways. And we'll get into that in a minute. We also wanted to make sure that we were continuing to grow and make sure that we're looking at some of the workflows and what we do, and make sure that we have fine-tuned them, and also work with our digital literacy interventionists, because there's so many things coming down the pike. We want to make sure that we're doing the best for our students. And lastly, we have a mission to work on a cultural proficiency to make sure that every student feels represented in our community.
And I want to add too that we welcome some new members to our school community this year. The goals program moved from Kennedy to Jefferson, and it's been a great transition, and it's been terrific to have those students and those staff in the building, and looking forward to growing our relationship and partnership with them as well. Michelle is going to talk to us a little bit about how we focused on social emotional learning this year.
Sure. So pre-COVID, we had worked a lot with setting up comm spots for each classroom. We had grant money and had different funding to get these amazing bean bags that we just put in all the classes in an area where they shared self-regulatory strategies. It was coloring and some fidgets and things with a timer so kids could go take a break and come back. We had to reimagine that this year because you can't be sharing materials. And we did want to keep in mind budget. So what we did was I created a folder for each student in the building by grade level. We had, you can see some visuals for self-care strategies, self-regulatory strategies. We use the zones of regulation. As well as some cognitive distractions, which involve, you know, some coloring, some word searches, and some mazes, things like that. We also ordered comm strips, which I actually have one on my folder. They're just simply stickers, but there's a little bit of texture. We really wanted to think about quiet fidgets that were helpful to keep focus. And then per recommendation of our occupational therapist, we ordered, they're called monkey fidgets, but there's a little marble inside, a little thing. So we are still trying to come up with other ways because the students are, you know, really latched onto those self-regulatory strategies. The other thing is to have those breaks built in. The teachers do a great job of after recess to have that calming time, or if kids just need a few minutes. And there's not a lot of time for fun. So the coloring, just seeing kids light up when they can color something is great to have that time to do that. The other thing that I have is a virtual office, so kids can go in and do some virtual calming strategies. And I know a lot of the teachers did that as well. So that was important. I also just wanted to thank Sarah and Kim. It's been so important for us to focus on the social emotional well-being of our students, which Sarah and Kim have made clear that that's a priority, but checking in on the staff, so it's been very, very obvious they're caring and putting the well-being of the staff first. So that's been really, it lets us do the work for the kids. So I just wanted to thank them for that because that has been, that hasn't gone unnoticed. So I just want to thank them for that.
Thank you, Michelle. And I will say Michelle has gone above and beyond putting together like some of these calm down folders for some of the kids to take home so that on their remote days, they would have access to those resources and things as well. So that has been greatly appreciated this year too. Shifting gears a little bit, Jenny's going to talk a little bit about our continued work in cultural proficiency this year, because as Kim said, that was something that we absolutely did not want to lose sight of this year. We had the district-wide PD, but we had started some PD and training at Jefferson in prior years and wanted to continue to build on that work this year.
Hi, everybody. Like Sarah just said, this is something that's been really important at Jefferson since I've been at Jefferson. But as the literacy specialist, I guess my sort of spin on it is making sure that we choose books that are culturally proficient. And I've always sort of lived by the quote, and I'm sure many of you have heard it, that kids should have windows to see into other worlds from their books, but also mirrors to be able to see themselves. And I recently heard it updated just a little bit more in terms of kids should be able to see themselves in the books that they're reading be the hero, but they should have the opportunity mm-hmm. to, and they should be humble enough to be able to see other kids and other people get to be the hero in the books that they have access to. So I do a lot of research and trying to find books through blogs and attending seminars. The pictures that you see here, these are just a drop in the bucket of the number of books that we've added to our classrooms, our classroom libraries, to teachers' bookshelves in terms of what they read aloud. I have an online digital read aloud library where I share books with kids. So again, this is just sort of a drop in the bucket, and you can see all the different characters that are referenced, and some are overtly, you know, they mention cultural differences as the main theme, but many of them are just kids that of all different walks of life, just kind of going about their lives, and they get to be the hero and they get to be the star of the book. You know, we always try to keep an eye on the inclusion, especially the climate of our country. As Dr. Ahern mentioned earlier, it's really important that even though at the elementary level we have the littlest learners, that we start a lot of that and we incite that acceptance and that inclusion. And that includes the conversations that we have around books. So it's not just the books that we choose and making sure that our students have access to all these different kinds of books, but it's the conversations that we start with them and make sure teachers have the resources that they need, you know, to look at the different points of view in a book, who's featured and who's marginalized, who benefits and who's being considered in the problem and solution that's presented, and even going so far as to look at the author of the book and what qualifications do they have to be able to speak about characters or situations that are presented. You know, is it an authentic look at a culture, or is it something that we need to take a second glance at? And we've developed lessons, Ms. Klim and I, last year, we developed a whole unit that we were sharing with teachers on this critical literacy piece. So it's a huge part of our cultural proficiency work at Jefferson. You know, obviously it's important to the district. It's a part of the Portrait of a Graduate, and it's a big district initiative. But at Jefferson, it's a huge part of the professional development that we do. It's really important to our teachers, and we want to make sure it's communicated that it's important to our kids, that everyone feels included and everyone's represented, and everybody gets that fair share. So that's my piece.
Thank you, Jenny. And I want to add to that while we do have used a portion of our budget funds to purchase newer books to replace some in classroom libraries that might be falling apart or, you know, somewhat outdated. And again, to make sure that our collections are diverse, representing characters, authors, cultures, and all of that. Also, our partnership with the PCC and the book fairs that we have with Scholastic and Barnes & Noble also allow us to purchase more books for our school, and so we use those resources as well to provide all of this. So that's been another community partner, and we'll talk more about PCC in a couple minutes. Jamie Holbig, our math specialist, is going to talk a little bit about how the interventionists and DLIs have been a huge support to us this year as well.
I'm sorry, I'm used to the Google Meet unmute button. Zoom's in a different place. In the Franklin Public Schools, we are so fortunate to be able to have interventionists that work at our elementary level. These interventionists support students in both literacy and mathematics. I'm going to be speaking about the process that we use at Jefferson. It might be a little bit different at some of our other elementary schools. And we've worked really hard to kind of refine this process over the years. I feel like we're always kind of tweaking it a little bit. The interventionists work really closely with both the literacy specialist and myself. We frequently meet at PLC meetings during our Wednesday afternoon planning sessions with teachers, with special education teachers, and we're constantly discussing student progress because we want to identify students that are showing an area of growth that might benefit from some intervention. We use assessments to provide this detailed and specific information, and that's going to inform the instruction that the students are receiving from the interventionist. So we have common assessments that we use at the district level. So students in a particular grade might take a common assessment, and we will look at that data across the grade. We also have specific assessments that we might administer on a select number of students. I know that at all of the elementary buildings, the math specialists are trained in math recovery. So if we have a student that we want a little bit more information about mathematically, we would administer a math recovery assessment as well. All of the decisions that we make involving intervention are based on data. So we identify a targeted goal for our groups of students, and they would receive explicit instruction from the interventionist based on that goal. Currently, our interventionists have worked with several dozen students in kindergarten through third grade. They typically would receive the support in a 20 to 30 minute intervention session. And we usually use a 6 to 8 week session with the kids, so they have enough time to work on their goals. The support might be in person or remotely, kind of based on the need and the situation of the student. We progress monitor our interventionists, progress monitor through what we call knowledge checks. We progress monitor both at the halfway point of their time frame and then again at the end of the cycle, because we want to make sure that the students are responding to the intervention that we are providing. That the interventionists would then share the progress with both classroom teachers and us as specialists, because we all play a part in the learning process for these students. And we might make adjustments halfway through the cycle or the time frame. We have graduated students because they have already met the goal that we put in place a little faster than we thought that they might. We've made some adjustments to our instruction based on our knowledge checks. We've tweaked some goals. Maybe they met part of a goal. We can kind of change our goal and make it a little more rigorous for that student. We are almost at the end of one of our cycles, and the timing is going to coincide with when the students come back to school full and in person on April 5th. So I know that's going to impact our schedule a little bit, because we're really used to operating in that cohort A and cohort B kind of mindset. So now we can be a little more flexible and spread out their intervention support throughout the week. We know that intervention is important in any year. We don't want to see any students slip through the cracks. We want all of our students able to access the grade level curriculum. But this year, intervention, and you know, next year, there's going to continue to be gaps. Intervention is critical for our students. So these positions are extremely important. I'm also going to talk a little bit about a newer position in our district this year, and that is the digital learning integrationist, and how we have utilized their support this year at Jefferson. Some teachers have had some co-teaching opportunities with the DLIs. I know specifically in fourth grade, they were in a energy unit, and Mrs. Merton was able to come in and do a STEM lesson with the students, and they also were able to do some coding in their lesson. So she was able to integrate some of the digital literacy standards into an existing content standard. I know personally I was supporting the fifth grade VLA classroom, and I also co-taught with Mrs. Merton on a lesson on digital citizenship, which is really important for kids around that age as they're beginning to explore their digital footprint. And she's been amazing and supportive for all of us. I know that classroom teachers and ESPs have had some professional development from the DLIs, especially around some digital tools like Seesaw or Pear Deck, even some of the Google Meet features that we may not have known about. We used them a ton when we were getting ready for hybrid, just where's the camera going to go, the setting, the document camera, the smart board. These things are really difficult when you're trying to set up on different computers. So they helped a lot with that. I know we're returning full and in person, but I strongly believe that the DLI's support can really help enhance the lessons and continue to personalize the learning for our students. So we're also extremely fortunate to have these DLI positions available at all of the levels for the district.
And Kate Merton has been a lifesaver several mornings when we've had a substitute in the building and the technology has not been working for them. So big thank you to Kate and all of the DLIs. So I want to circle back to building that strong school community. I think this is really the perfect time to share some of this with you, because I know it's been a little bit of a long meeting. But I really think you'll enjoy seeing some of the ways that we've reimagined some of those school traditions that Mrs. Booth talked about. I told the staff at the start of the year, and we've reiterated it many times, that our theme for the year was we're all in this together. And so some of the ways that we've reimagined those traditions and shown this, I'd like to show you just 2 seconds of our staff slideshow from September. So every year on that first PD day that the teachers are back,
I hound them with a camera and make them let me take their picture so that we can put a bulletin board up in the lobby with all the staff's pictures and names, so that as the kids are coming in, when their families come in for curriculum night, they can put a face with the name. And since we started the year remotely and, you know, phasing into hybrid, we had to reimagine that this year. So we did a staff slideshow, and I'm just going to pull it forward, that what we did this year was we asked each staff to send us two pictures, one with their mask on and one with their mask off. And this was sent out to all of our students and to families at the start of the school year. And we saw it as a way to, you know, really help our kids get to know their teachers and staff, especially where they weren't necessarily going to meet all of them, you know, right off the bat. And what I'd like to do now, our most recent reimagining of a tradition was the annual reading program kickoff skit. This has been going on in Jefferson, my understanding is, since Jefferson first opened. The teachers typically do a skit with costumes around a theme to get our kids excited for the mid-year reading program. And so again, not being able to have assemblies and things this year, we reimagined that into a video. It does feature a live performance that you'll see a couple minutes in. But I think more importantly, this video just captures so much of what we've been talking about tonight and that you've heard about from other schools of the way things have gone. So I really think it gives you a great window, not only into Jefferson, but to what I imagine is going on in all of our schools this year.
Celebration, I finally figured out, yeah, yeah, that all our dreams have no limitations. That's what it's all about.
Come on now.
Everyone is special in their own way. We make each other strong.
Each other strong.
We're not the same, we're different in a good way.
We'll be right back.
So just so you know, this the pictures of that video were taken right after around when we were having Dress Like Your Favorite Book Character Day to kick off March Book Character Madness. We don't actually dress in costumes that much.
Right. Yeah.
But like so many of our spirit days this year, we did a lot of them twice. So that cohort A and cohort B kids got to wear their pajamas to school. You saw some our Hearts of our Kindness bulletin board instead of Valentine's this year, which was just so complicated to exchange. All of our classes participated in the Hearts of Kindness project and did different projects within their class to tell each other how much they cared for each other. One other thing that I want to mention, because I know we're running a little bit late, but I do want to just show one of the biggest things that we reimagined this year was our morning announcements. We started the year with staff doing videos instead of doing them over the intercom, and then have switched to having students do it. And so I would like to just show you quickly this video of our kids so that you hear their voices tonight. It's just about 1 minute long.
Good morning, Jefferson. Today is Tuesday, January 5th.
It's Thursday, March 4th.
It's Monday, February 8th.
It's Wednesday, January 27th, 2021. I am AOC in Miss Antucci's class. Please stand while we say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic
for which it stands, one nation, under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Happy birthday to Eva M. in Miss Leary's class.
Happy birthday to Lucy F. in Mrs. O'Neill's class.
Happy birthday to Brianna A. in the VLA.
Next week will be our January bottles and cans collections.
Tomorrow is Just Like Your Favorite Book Character Day to kick off March Book Character Madness.
It is Math Monday.
It is Tell Us Something Tuesday.
It is Wednesday.
It's Thursday.
It is Funny Friday. And today's riddle comes from Yara A. and Mrs. Mark's class. Why do bees hum? Because they don't know the words. That was a good one.
Good morning, Jefferson. Today is Tuesday, January.
Sorry. So just wanted you to see that and to see some of the ways that we've handled that. And I just would be remiss not to mention our PCC is one of our biggest partners, and they have certainly found ways to keep their traditions going this year and have done so much to support our staff with a luncheon to start the year. They've dropped off snacks periodically during the year. They're currently working on plans for our fifth grade celebration, and they've done some great partnerships with the community as well, partnering with some restaurants for fundraisers there. And also a great partnership, I have to thank the Fairmount Fruit Farm for working with us on our Courageous Pumpkin Festival this year as well. So big thanks to our PCC.
So we just want to wrap up. In the beginning, I said that we wanted to make sure that our students and our families felt connected to Jefferson. And so we asked the kids, what is your favorite thing about Jefferson? And I'll let you take a look at it. But the one that I like the most is everyone is nice to each other. And that's mentioned twice in two different kids' responses. The other one was having pajama day and other fun things. And that talks to we reimagined our traditions. So the kids still get to participate in the Jefferson year. But you know what? Looking at these, I think we've done a good job making those kids feel like they're part of our community. And then we would not be, we also wanted to talk with our families. And it's always nice to get wonderful comments about how everything is going. I think the best one that I like, though, is the one about the student that got picked up in the car and was asked by his mom, how was your day? And he said, school was awesome. That's how we want our Jefferson families and particularly our students feel every time they leave. And we want them to come back the next day. So I'm really glad that school is awesome.
And I will say that we picked these from a few emails from families, but we had thankfully so many to pick from, as well as the comments from our students. So the format that we use for tonight's presentation is the format we've used for our virtual all-school meetings this year, and they always end with the Jefferson song performed by Mr. Barrett. We won't play that for you tonight, but I would encourage you to check it out sometime. So Thank you so much for your time tonight and for letting us share with you what makes Jefferson just such a wonderful place. And thanks to Kim and our teachers for being here and for those that we know are watching. And again, thanks to everyone for their support.
Thank you. Let me just go through school committee. Any comments, questions? Is there anyone? Oh, go ahead, Denise.
I just had a question. Miss Heelbug, I'm not sure if I'm saying your name right. I can't
Hulbig.
See.
Mrs. Hulbig, yes.
Hulbig, okay. You had mentioned 20 to 30 minute assessment sessions. When do those typically take place during the school day?
No, those are not assessment sessions. That's when the students receive their intervention support. So they might go in a 20 to 30 minute session to receive their instruction.
Okay, all right.
So the knowledge check would be quick. It wouldn't be a 20 minute assessment. So that would be something just kind of checking in on the students. But they would go to their session twice a week because they're here, you know, 2 days a week. And so if they're in cohort A, they would be in the Monday, Tuesday, they're receiving their instruction back to back. So we can spread that out a little bit when the students are here for their 5 days full and in person. But that's how long the sessions are. They're about 20 to 30 minutes.
All right, I'm glad I asked. Thank you for clarifying. And then also just to follow up, because you had mentioned the DLI professional development. I follow Franklin DLI on Twitter, and their tips are amazing, and they've helped me so many times, both with school committee stuff and just even just in my personal life or with my son stuff. So I highly recommend everyone follow the DLI on Twitter.
Absolutely. And it's been great that they've been able to help on an ongoing basis as like new staff have been hired or new students have come that they've have worked with them and provided that as well. And just very quickly, the two videos that you saw, our announcement montage and the reading program video, I would be remiss if I did not thank the people who made them. I cannot take credit for them. I do not have those tech skills. But Mr. Ryan Kamiri, a Jefferson parent, made the announcement montage, and Anne-Marie Tracy worked on the other video for us, and we are so grateful for their help and support, and they did an awesome job.
Anyone else on the committee? I wanted to say it was so important having this on the budget night, because as I'm listening to this, I'm thinking all the line items in the budget, we saw them, you know, enacted, you know, so this is what we're supporting, you know, and it was sort of like, and watching you, and I say, how did people make a terrible situation, which this year was extraordinary, and the work that goes into it, I know it, I mean, it's just, it's so important that it's recognized, you know, by the community, and how you made everything safe, but without making it sterile, and your passion and your commitment came through. And just to say thank you, it's just because people get to see all the complexities and challenge. We talk about schools of the 21st century. They're not like the old way, and all of the needs you have to meet in those schools and how you do it every day. And you keep kids in mind first. And the fact I love that you mentioned about looking out for the staff, you know, and Sarah, that reflection on your leadership and the culture that you guys have created. So I know it's late, and thank you. And I don't want to, you know, for staying late and doing this for us.
Nope.
And it's just so important for the community also to see this. So
no, we were happy to be here tonight. And, you know, it wasn't planned, obviously, originally, we didn't realize it was the budget discussion. But we thought too, that there was a great opportunity for you to see it in action.
Absolutely.
And we know it was late too, but we appreciate the time and your attention.
And thank you all. And please, again, I just convey, you know, our respect and gratitude to the rest of your staff as well, because we really do appreciate it. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. And by the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.